No, they say that just like your eyesight, especially like in regards to like pregnancy and hormones, your
Really?
eyesight can go either way. It can
Okay.
get worse because of hormones, and then it can actually improve. So over the last, since Thomas, my eyesight has actually gotten better.
Shannon, that's amazing.
I know. You just got to get pregnant, Luke.
Yeah.
Solve all your problems. Non-uterus transplants.
Here we go, everyone. So one thing that, okay, so we actually have a Shannon on the show. So now that that's out of the way.
I wave, but I know no one can see me.
Nah,
but I'm
fine.
Just telling you that I wave.
There could be
in
some
the
people
universe.
in the chat.
Exactly. Yeah, it's actually
it's in the infinite.
Yeah.
We have two audience members who are watching.
One,
oh, hi.
One thing that I think people like don't realize is like we're actually good friends.
Yes.
And so I'm excited for that rapport to come through. And I'm also excited for you to see that I shaved my head.
I see.
And I want
I see.
To know what you think.
I like it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Bald men. It's okay. A true story.
Good.
My date to prom, my senior year of high school, was bald.
So in the 80s, that was cool?
It was the 90s, Luke. I'm not that old.
Yeah, but I was in junior high. Let's be very clear.
1997
yeah, yes.
was a good year.
I was in eighth grade in ninth. We hadn't yet learned about the joy of Limp Bizkit. So, you know,
we were on the cusp.
So close.
You know, close. Like we're about, you know, there are some things going on. We are about a year away, perhaps, from returning to an old Luke. An old, you know.
I see.
You know where I'm going with this?
Yes,
and so,
I do.
I'm excited.
I started therapy so that I have plenty of things to tell you. I'm just talking to them about you so that I can be prepared too.
Like, and then we were just trying to watch this show and she started to rub his leg and we were like, what's happening here?
Handshakes! Handshakes!
Is this the part where inside jokes make inside friends?
Yes. Yeah. So there's this long ongoing... I don't know if I should make a joke about this or not, but I'm going to, and if we decide not, then we can just have Joe edit it out. One time in college, I may have flirted with a younger individual. And someone here, I won't say who, decided to make a whole thing about that for years. Years. Years and years and years.
I'm in complete denial.
For the sake of our audience, can you clarify what younger person is? Is this
a
teenager when you were in college?
A freshman when I was a junior, which is not a big deal.
It's not. Except for when your friend, so I hear, is in charge of a residence hall and you are there as part of orientation. And you don't say, hey, friend name, how was your summer? You say, hey, friend name, any good ones showing up this year? So that's maybe a better context for that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
If so, where are their rooms? Do they need any assistance?
I don't know if you were there during this part. I think this may have been Maggie Smith that I was doing this. But you know when like you make the tunnel for all of the freshmen to walk through for the first big orientation thing?
Oh, gosh.
Anytime there was a girl I thought was cute, I would clap really loud and stare at Maggie. Yeah, I'd be like, whoa! Yeah.
Did you mark her arm so you can find her later?
Yep.
You Michael Scott at her arm. Here you go. So I can find you later in the crowd.
All of a sudden,
and then you're
like...
disappointed because when she walked by fast, it wasn't the same as when she was standing still.
Why did 5% of all of the incoming freshmen have a mark on their arm? That's weird.
You mean the top 5%?
Yeah. So anyways, no, I thought it was time, right? I thought it was time. And I was like, I can't, there's only so long you can look like Doc Brown before it comes sad. And so I feel like I was getting close to that point. Because, like, ugh. You know, like, I went bald, like, pretty quickly. And then there was, like, no receding for, like, 10 to 15 years. And now it slowly kind of started again.
I just always, I've told the story, I think, on here before. Like, the first time I ever saw you, We were all, like, at that place in Pittsburgh.
Oh, the bar we all, like, went to. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, we were all back for orientation and stuff. And everyone was like, wait till you meet Luke Carey, because you'd been in Austria the semester before. Mm-hmm. And the double doors opened, and it was like a movie. It was, like, all I think of. In Con Air, when Nicolas Cage character turns the corner and his hair, his like wispy hair, is blowing in the wind,
he's like,
that's exactly what it was when you walked through the double doors of this place, and your hair was wispy back and forth, and no one even had to tell me, and I'm like, that has to be Luke Carey.
Yeah,
and I was right.
You were. It was very long and very cool. And oh my gosh. Yeah. I just remember being like, wow, she's really cool. And she's how old? Huh. I wouldn't guess that she is 40. Interesting.
I didn't realize I let geriatrics run the norms these days.
Like, wow. That's got to be very weird going from like an adult life for years and years and years and years.
So many years.
And years.
Haven't I seen her on that billboard for osteoporosis?
To make it a dark moment, one of the things that I would say when me and Shannon would break up was, I was like, but Shannon, you graduated college, you then had a job, then you quit, and then you came back for grad school, and that's when we met. I have only done half of that. So, like, I'm just becoming a young adult. I need more freedom, man. And that's when she was like,
to do what?
To
play video games with Jonathan Alexander.
Oh man, that was so much fun.
You stop it.
Yeah.
No, it was literally just me being afraid of commitment. But hey,
I can remember. Yeah,
we're together.
I love you guys. Are some of my favorite people in the entire world. I can remember.
Couched it by saying some.
I mean, you know,
it's fine.
I mean, listen, you guys are top. You're top five.
Okay.
Okay.
Top five. I mean, I'm combining you as one person, but still.
I've never been in anyone's top five. This is exciting.
No. Yeah. When Gomer and you first started to talk, I remember we were like hanging out in his room playing Grand Theft Auto 4, just like running around doing violent things in cars while listening to Blindside over and over again. It was, just, I don't know why. I think of that time and I'm just like, yeah, what a fun time.
Those were the good days.
Yeah.
Kings in the apartment.
Oh my gosh. I would just flip caps of Miller High Life all over your apartment.
Yeah. That I found for like a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were like just literally implanted in things, embedded. And I'm like, I don't even know.
Listen, anyways. If to like be friends with me is to sign on for a lifetime of like really great experiences and great things, particularly in the beginning. And then there's a period of exhaustion.
Those beginning times are so good, though. That's what keeps you holding on. Yeah. You're like, maybe they'll circle back.
And they do come back, but then it's like more exhaustion. And it's like, wow, Luke, every 10 years, huh? We just, every 10 years.
I think that's a good segue to the reason why you wanted to have Shannon on the show.
No, that's fine. No,
the
it's okay.
New exciting thing followed by exhaustion.
Okay, so I was, good job, Gomer. I was texting with your illustrious husband. Still weird to me when you call him Michael. I'm like, okay, Shannon, let's stop now.
Yeah. I tell everybody, like, the day that he told me I didn't have to call him Gomer, he's like, you can call me Michael. I was like, and it took me forever to, like, it was like half and half. And to this day, I don't know what to call him when I talk to people. I'm like, I have to ask him, when did you meet him? Like, today, 15 years ago, because that depends on,
like,
lot.
I still smirk when I say my business partner, Michael, which, by the way, thank you for being on top of him, which means being on top of me, which sounds weird, regards to our taxes, because they would not probably be done if you hadn't been like, come on, let's go.
Our taxes have been filed. We're a month early.
Look at that. I'm so, look at that. That's what
marital bliss right
maybe
here.
You should be marital running bliss. Our business instead of us. So,
we're not neurotypical is what
no,
we're
yeah, see.
As my friend Sarah Alexander will say, you're very neurodivergent, and the world needs you.
And now we have purple hair. So, because that's what you have to do when you acknowledge that, I guess.
Well, you have to have hair.
And then- fair. That's fair. That is fair. That is fair. Oh man, it's
to
it's,
us.
To us, yeah. So Gomer started to like text me a whole bunch of memes because he was very particularly the Batman and the Robin meme that was very popular like 8 years ago. And yeah, you guys have a lot of kids, so I get it. Like, you know, you skip things and you miss things, then you unfind them again. And
sleep deprivation is real. It's real. It's real. Right. So you miss a lot.
You know, I think you're over the roofing YouTube obsession. And he goes, no, I watched six today. And I was like, no. If you still had it, you'd be on number eight or like perhaps even like number nine, maybe only number seven. Instead, you are almost sending me memes. And it's the same thing. And you think you're being clever because you're applying all these different things that we are talking about to the memes. I think this is a sign that you have now moved on to your next obsession. And I was like, I think only me and Shannon really understand that this is the moment. Like, this is like, you know, when they talk about in economics that you make all of your decisions on the margins. This is the margin where like the benefit of the YouTube like watching now like is lower than the cost. So we've moved on. And I want to know what you think about that.
I don't think he's moved on.
Oh, come on. Now, I don't mean being obsessed and wanting to talk about it a bunch, wanting to have a job in that, wanting to be like, this is my new everything. I just mean this is for the YouTube obsession.
No, I mean, last night we were watching with the children and they were asking for it, different types of spray foam insulation.
Okay, that's fair. Okay.
So that's we fair. Are still very much in the thick of it. Maybe he doesn't talk about it as often because... Maybe he sees now because we're getting better at reading the room that people maybe don't want to know all the YouTube videos you've been watching.
Be talking about
this stuff. So there's growth in that department. But
a roofer challenged another roofer to an MMA fight. People need to know that.
Oh, Dimitri.
I mean, your husband, the man you chose to marry and father your children. True. True. Is the same one who at like a party in college, I remember being in a corner talking to people about why the youth ministry needs to involve reading more classic books because he had read something and just holding court. And I was like, where are we? Where do we go to school? What is this?
What's happening?
Yeah. Why are we the cool ones?
Because you're neurodivergent. You keep things spicy.
That's great.
I remember when our daughter Cecilia got diagnosed with ADHD and we got the diagnosis and we met with the doctors and it was really great. And Michael was like, did you know that in order for like your kid to be diagnosed, like it's genetic. So like one of the parents has to have it.
So, you know, Shannon.
So I looked at him and I go, And he was so offended. He was like, you think it's me? And I was like, listen, this isn't. No offense. Grounds for annulment. I knew what I was doing when I signed up for it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, I was like, I'm not shocked. Like, I knew.
Did you just say no offense because you were going to say grounds for annulment?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I'm just being sensitive.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Listen.
Okay, well, then I won't be sensitive anymore. It's not true. I can't do that. Anyways, and he was like, and so this was, I think, one of the first YouTube deep dives he ever did. Like, I didn't see him for like 3 days. He had to process this information that I said he was the one who had the ADHD, and he comes back like I'm not kidding, like 3 days later, and he's like, "It is me," and I was like, "That's what I've been saying." Like, I make a lot of lists. I like to check things off. Yeah. I'm fairly organized. You call me, I'm going to call you back. There's just a lot of non-ADHD.
Not you. Yeah.
In my character. So anyways, that was our first experience with a YouTube deep dive.
That's so great.
ADHD world.
That's so. All right, I will concede that perhaps the YouTube obsession is not over. Not the obsession with roofs, just the YouTube obsession, which is the beginning of the end of the obsession. But I'm on the lookout.
So you didn't make that very clear in our text messages.
Fair.
About the YouTube side of it? Fair. I thought you meant in general.
No, no. Just the YouTube side.
So I'll tell you one thing that's artificially prolonging my YouTube obsession.
Viagra?
Not needed.
You're welcome, America. This is why we got married. No, it's the fact that our kids and my wife decided for Lent we would give up frivolous YouTube videos and we can only watch educational ones.
Love it.
And for daddy, that includes HVAC, attic, home repair, and roofing. So we have watched a lot of roofing videos that may be artificially sustaining. It's a life support for the YouTube obsession.
No, it's, I mean, I remember before Everly was born, I got obsessed with painting rooms and I was obsessed with the Idaho painters in their YouTube channel.
And I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes.
So like much
watch them. Yes.
That I thought I could do the thing where they don't put tape on the ceiling while they trim. And I didn't. And there was just paint everywhere. And I was like, ah, well, it's 2020. I really don't care right now.
The world's close falling enough apart.
Yeah.
No one's coming over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's pretty much my
literally
thought.
No one will. No, see no, this.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. No one's coming over. Shannon, how do you deal?
I was fine. The introvert was like, I have arrived. This is my year.
Take it.
Nobody can come over. I can't go over to your house.
I've had to live in your world for 55 years.
I'm telling you. It was a wonderful break. I was so sad when the things started to come back. Like,
can we not? Oh, expectations.
Yeah.
When I remember, so like when I was diagnosed, when I started to think like, okay, there's something here, you know, like I remember like when I looked at all the symptoms, my mind just went back to like a lot of things from college in my 20s and going, oh.
All makes sense now. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So I was the problem. Okay. Okay.
It was me.
It was me. Oh, that's a bummer. That's a bummer.
Yep.
What's the most stressful? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Not to make this about me, but I just thought about this. What's the most stressful thing that I've ever done to where you're like, Luke, I'm going to kill you?
For our wedding, okay. When you got into...
She had this lofty load. Yeah.
No, for our wedding,
yeah.
You had just ended a relationship with someone and you were teetering, maybe getting back together with this person, and you wanted them to come to our wedding.
For tradition, yeah.
And I said, no. And you were mad at me, but I was like, do you want to come to my wedding and have a wonderful time where you can do whatever you want to do and no one's going to correct you? No one's going to like say anything, right? I didn't even really know this person, but it just was like, no, she's not invited, right? Mm-hmm. So anyways.
Yeah.
And you were so mad. And then after the fact, and maybe the open bar, at the end of our wedding, you were like, thanks for having me come by myself.
Because right now, we just talk about how pretty your mom is. No.
She did.
You look great.
People have made comments, but I just tell like my mom, too. I'm like, you deserved it. If you had seen, I should do a side-by-side with my mother's permission of my brother's wedding 10 years before that, where my sister Lydia was like 8 weeks old. So my mom is in her 40s, postpartum with baby number 7.
Wow.
Looked awful, like felt awful. She had to fly to New York and stuff like that. Anyways, it was just like, that was really hard for her. And so then for my wedding, I was like, 10 years later, she looked great. She felt great. She wasn't pregnant. She wasn't nursing. I'm like, knock yourself out, Anastasia. She
had her glow up.
She did, and she looked awesome. I was semi-expecting an announcement of sorts shortly thereafter, but that didn't happen.
Did not happen.
We all were kind of like, well?
Well, anyways. We just like Father of the Bride Part 2'd this, so that's interesting.
Yes, we lived it. No, yeah. Anyways, she deserved it.
No, that's awesome. That's actually, you know, it's really interesting, like, as we've gotten older, as we have caught up with certain people who are on this interview here. who? Like, just to be able to see, like, it's so interesting. I don't know where I'm going with this, but per tradition, like the glow ups that can occur throughout life, right? Mm-hmm. Of when it's not this thing, it's not this like weird like progressive thing where it's just kind of like, and I don't mean like just like a physical thing. I mean actually like you just go through, like, you almost have like a season where it's like, this is where I am, and I'm able, I don't know. That's just, that's a very cool, that's a very cool story. Because one thing that's really interesting right now, like, for me is, you know, I am 41 with a 3-year-old. And so it's weird to see, like, you guys or the people have kids who are entering junior high and high school. And I'm like, wait, you guys aren't like up at 3 a.m. dealing with, you know, whatever. You aren't having to watch this stuff over and over again. Cause I am a lot.
We did our time.
You did. Yeah. Do you think it's better to do it in your 20s or in like, was it not?
I have no idea.
Do you remember your 20s when you would go out to a party at 10 o'clock at night?
But I had no other purpose. So like, you're willing to do, you know, like that's my, like, is it really like physical? Or is it more of a mental thing? Because like in my 20s, like my job isn't as hard as it is right now. It's hard, but it's not like the demand, you know, like it's, I'm sure, I think there's a bit of like, I'm like a physical thing, but like that's all I've got going for me. That's my world, you know, and now it's just not.
I was just joking with someone the other day that my personality and my age are finally the same. That I've been an old lady this whole time where I'm like, like, even in my 20s, I'm like, yeah, I have to go out. Like, why do I have to put pants on to leave? Like, I didn't. And now I'm like, 9 p.m. I came upstairs last night.
No pants.
Friday night. Got in my bed with a book. I'm like, I have arrived. Like, and I was so happy.
So how, like, you know what's so funny is this is going to surprise you. But when we were in college, you met us right at like peak us. So we're turning 21. We're going out and having fun. We've had our, like, we're not going to drink and party because we're at Seville and you don't do that all that much for underage, blah, 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 blah. And so we're really like going like full on college mode in like a good way. So I'm of the opinion that everyone is like me. Everyone approaches the world in the exact same way. They want the same things. They feel the same deep emotions because Laura's either didn't like them back, you know, kind of a thing. You like are not that, and I didn't really realize that till like our 20s. So what was that like? Was there a party that was like, why am I friends with them?
Oh, a lot. Yes.
This, like, is a bit much.
I even asked, there's a friend of mine, her name is Casey Barnes, I'll give her a shout out. She's like a decade younger than I am, no joke.
Okay.
And several years ago we met and she wanted to be my friend, and I literally asked her, I'm like, why do you want to be my friend? She's like uber CrossFitter, very like loves to go out, loves to be around. On the spectrum, there's Casey Barnes and there's Shannon Gormley, right? We could not be more opposite. But our friendship is a fantastic friendship, right? She's forced me out of my shell in some ways. I don't know. It's been really great. So I kind of think it's similar to that, where like there's a meme that goes around, like every introvert needs an extrovert every once in a while, because otherwise we'd never leave our house, right? We'd never go anywhere and stuff like that. But yeah, even for Michael and I, like in the beginning of our marriage, because he would always want to go out and I'd be like, oh, I don't want to go out. Now, most of the time I was like pregnant and or nursing. So you're like, I really don't want to go out.
Thank God.
Yeah. Like, sorry, we can't go to the party bar with this child.
Yeah, it's not. People will frown upon this. Yeah. But anyways, but it's like a balance, right? You just have to, there are times I have to give in and I have to go out and I have to be a part of it. And I always have a good time when I do. So it's like, it's a good forcing to go against that. But then there are times where you're like, please go out and leave me alone.
That's
and don't come home till 2 a.m.
I just had no, I thought it's what everyone, because I remember when Gomer started telling me that you didn't like going out. I was like, what? Like, yeah, she does. What are you talking about? Like, we go out all the time. She's always there. I don't understand.
I go out and I have fun, but then there are times where, like, I tell people, when I was a youth minister here and I lived by myself, when I had Fridays and Saturdays off, I would hibernate. Like, I would not leave my apartment. I would go get groceries and I would literally be a hermit unless somebody said, hey, we're going to go to a bar or whatever down the street. I would just hibernate. I would not leave my apartment because that's what I needed to be able to go be extroverted the rest of the time. And I remember, I guess it was the first day that I met you, Michael, and Chris Kravaniak. They like went out that night and at 2 a.m. they call my apartment. Do you remember that? From outside of Tommy Moore. And they're like, let us up. And I'm like, I've been in bed for like hours. I'm not letting you up. And that was like their first introduction to, oh, she's not the same.
People, in college, I would not have been able to comprehend that. I remember, and they were particularly, and like, I don't mean this in a bad way, like a lot of homeschoolers who would go to bed during the weeknight at like 10 o'clock. And I'd be like, what? How, like, to me, the discipline that required was unfathomable.
Undiagnosed like, ADHD. Yeah,
I just was like, no, there's, I mean, do you know the amount of times I would just stay up all night and go to our 6 a.m. mass commitment on Tuesdays? Like, I mean.
And that would physically make me sick. I couldn't do that.
No,
I would physically be ill like the next day. Even, yeah, I cannot pull all-nighters. When we go to like our vigils here, like Easter vigils coming up, and I'm like bracing myself, like, I can do this. I can stay up and I can function. I have to like psych my brain up to be able to do this mind over matter that day, because my body will just want to shut down and give up on everything.
So then how do you, like, when you have like a bunch of kids, how do you handle that? Like, particularly as a stay-at-home mom?
Well, one, you have to, a mom was just asking me the other day, she was, I gave a talk to our local moms group, and she was like, you know, the baby just cries. And I just, how do you find that, you know, 10 minutes of alone time or whatever? I go, I used to be in this, back when Facebook mom groups were like a huge thing.
Oh, the but drama also they, that had to be unreal.
Oh my gosh. And some of the Catholic ones, they were good. But then there were some people on there, they're like, these people need assistance. Like, this is, hello, postpartum depression, right? Yeah. And nobody's saying that, right? They're finding their quote unquote help online. So anyways, I think we've grown a lot since then. And there are more things available to these people. So, but like this woman said on there one time, like she hadn't showered in 10 days. Because every time she puts her baby down, the baby cries. In which case, I responded, and then my comment got flagged, was put your baby like in their crib. That's their safe place, right? You spend months preparing that space to be safe, and take a, not, don't take a 45 minute shower, take a 5 minute shower. You can do that for 5 minutes. Even if your baby cries, your baby's going to be fine. They're not going to be scarred for life, but it's better for you mentally, physically to go in and do that normal thing, right?
Yeah.
And there were plenty of times when Michael would come home from work and I would literally meet him at the front door and say, I'm leaving. Do not contact me. Do not text me.
I heard about those.
I will be home when I'm home. And then, but those were few and far between. But there were times you were like, it's 100% necessary to be able to do those things. And it's helpful when you have a spouse who's on board with that and helping you with that. But, and then also I think like you get grace, right? That's where marital grace comes in. And even the grace of motherhood, right? Like I've never been good at all-nighters. And I mean, there were been many a nights I've been up all night with kids. Even now, like if our kid gets sick or something, they come in, they wake us up, like it's hard the next day, but you just are able to do it. And I think a lot of that has to do with, if God's going to give you this kid, he's going to be able, if you're open to it, he'll give you the grace to power through those rough days. And then don't be above asking people, be like, I just need you to come over and take this kid for the day.
That
can
is
you
fair.
Hold them for a minute so I can go to the bathroom by myself? Like, that's all I need.
I just need to pee in peace. I just want to read. I just want to scroll, look at some reels, relieve myself. How do you? Okay, so this is going to be turn a little bit into like Luke is going to ask some parenting questions here, really, really quick. So one of the things that I find that I have a hard time with is sometimes like the monotony of things, where it's like, okay, I got like, you know, 2 hours here. I don't know what to do. And I find that's when I find the most temptation to turn on like YouTube or turn on a thing. And I don't think I think there were times where it's been a little bit too much, but it's, you know, it's definitely, I can get to borderline pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Any tips for how to deal with that, particularly for a person like me who.
See, you say that if it's, I love routine.
I know.
So if our kids, like people were always amazed. I even watched babysat other people's kids and they would all be on the same schedule. They all go down for naps together. They all eat together. They all, and this is just how we do it. Because like, if I knew I had 2 hours every day, then those 2 hours I would plan out. Sometimes I would plan, you know, 30 minutes of that to sit and do whatever I wanted, right? Read a book, watch a show, whatever it was. Like, and a lot of time, because again, sometimes you just need that. I'm alone. I'm by myself. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And this will be good. So whatever feeds you, right? To do that. And then the other times I would usually, like for me, pick a cleaning project, or that would be when I dinner prepped, or I would just like look ahead and be grateful that I knew I had those 2 hours, because then I could do what I needed to do for the rest of the day. Because when the kids woke up, there's no, then all that other stuff becomes more complicated, right? So.
Gomer got so lucky. Do you know, can you imagine the chaos if you were like him in this regard? Can you imagine?
Yes.
It would be awful. It would literally, I would be under a bridge somewhere, cooking meth. Like, There was a
I would be in an apartment in Kettering, Ohio by myself on a Saturday morning. Oh, sorry. Was that too much? Too much. Okay.
I'm not ready.
I don't know how to process this pain with you. No. No, but one of the things that, and I've told this story before, but I walked into a class that I was teaching. And people like love the class. It was great. It was going so well. But the guy goes, "Is your wife really organized?" And I was like, "Oh man, is my wife organized?" Yeah. My wife, I said, literally just this morning before I left for work, my wife was smiling, writing down a list. And I was like, "Well, what's that for?" I thought it was like a, like she's going to go shopping or something, you know, for herself, treat yourself. And instead she said, "Oh, I want to write down all the things for our packing lists." And I said, "Oh, you're doing the packing list?" And she goes, "No, I'm writing down ideas for packing lists." And I was like, "You're making a list about lists and you're smiling?" And then I said, and I go, "Well, why do you ask?" And he goes, "Oh, because you seem like the most disorganized man I've ever met."
Because this is chaos,
you just asked me for the third time, did I send you that email or did I send it to you? And he goes, and like, I literally turned it into you as I walked in. And I was like, oh.
That's so great. That's so good. So is it okay if this is, so like one thing that I've had to pivot a bit is because now my job is not remote. So I can't just be like, I guess I'll wear pants.
Yeah. Please wear pants in public.
Yeah. Ugh, so okay. Do you remember in college when I would run around in pajama pants?
All the time. Yeah. And you would sleep in those. Yeah. And then you would literally take a run in those. And
sometimes I wouldn't wear underwear with them because they were that kind of thing. I was like, whatever.
And we wonder why those were Luke's single years.
I'm like amazed. I remember I went back to campus sometime in 2017 to see Kravarnik when he was the head of admissions, which was just wonderful. Yeah. And I was pulling out of the library because I was like, this is the only place that like I know like where to park and I'm probably going to get a boot, but whatever. So many boots in my car. But I never registered. I mean, like multiple times. Like,
yes.
And I saw this guy in sweatpants, a hoodie, he had flip-flops. It's like March and like, yeah. Like neck beard. And I'm like, that guy's probably like really cool. How is that possible?
Is it me?
So yeah, like
self walking around on campus,
and I was just like, "Yeah, what?" So, like, one thing that I'm trying to do now is when I get Everly, I'm already in the morning. I try to actually like do my stuff up first. So, as opposed to getting on like her coat first, I'll put on my coat. As opposed to getting her dressed first, I will be dressed first. So, like, kind of putting mm-hmm. myself first. I'm like, I feel like if I can't do this stuff right now, I won't get to it because mm-hmm. the chaos for her is it's a little bit too unpredictable. Am I a terrible person for doing?
No.
Okay.
Good. I will get up and get fully ready in the morning. Like I will have gone for a walk. I will have showered. I will have had my prayer time. Mm-hmm. I will do all of that stuff before my kids get up because then I'm ready for whatever they bring in the day. And if they wake up early, they know I am unavailable to them. Now mine are all pretty self-sufficient. They get their own breakfast stuff, but when they were little, right? I just knew they all woke up around a certain time. And so I only had till that time to get myself ready. Cause then after that, everything is rushed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm imperfect. And so there were some days that I didn't do that. And then the rest of the day just feels out of whack because I didn't take that time. So no, I did. I still do that most of the days. I get completely ready to go before we start our day with the kids because I have to. Otherwise, mm-hmm. and now we have enough experience parenting that our days never go as they plan. Like the running joke is I can't go to the ER today. I say that like as a morning announcement.
Yeah.
FYI, I can't go to the ER today. It's not on the schedule. So please make your choices accordingly. You know?
That makes sense.
Because it's happened more times than not where you're like, dang it. Like, I didn't have time for this today.
The ER.
And then you have to spend eight hours sitting there doing, you know, just waiting or whatever. So anyways, I don't think that's wrong. I think actually that's very healthy to make sure you are ready so that whatever Everly brings when she wakes up or comes over, right, you're ready. Mm-hmm. And you can do whatever. Mm-hmm. It also gives her, I think, a sense of peace because you're usually, when you take that time for yourself, if we're being honest, you feel better.
Because that's true. You're
accomplished things, right? One of the first things I'll do in the morning is I make my bed. This is a Teresa Blackstone, formerly known as Teresa Connect, word of advice back in college, right? She just said, doesn't matter. She always makes her bed first thing in the morning because then whatever the day brings, at least when she comes back to her room, she accomplished one task.
Yeah.
And it looks like it. Your mm-hmm. room looks different when your bed is made. So that's like something that I've done ever since then is I get up and I make my bed so that no matter what happens when I leave my room and I come back, I'm like, I feel good because I at least accomplished, seems like a little task, but it's something, and it makes my whole room look different, you know?
Do you know what the key is to not having to do that?
Don't have sheets. Yep.
Don't put sheets on your bed. I went out to Denver in January for Sarah Nichols' birthday, and Maggie Smith was there, and both like Sarah and Maggie had a conversation about how the first time, like, I think the first time that Sarah's dad met me, I was like asleep on my bed without sheets. So I stopped by the house and introduced her dad to everyone. And then Maggie had the same experience with her sister. I'm like in my bed, like spread eagle, just in boxers with no sheets. And she's like, hello, hello. Like, where is everyone? And I'm like, what?
This is Luke Carey.
She goes, it's 2 in the afternoon. I'm like, listen, let's not be judgers. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Judge not. Let's you be judged. No, I mean, okay. So you'll be proud of me. I'm okay. 41. I thought I was going to. I'm sure to you. Oh, yep.
You've mentioned that a couple of times, so I feel like you're it's
hard.
It's acceptance. I'm proud of you.
I'm trying to acknowledge that. I bought this because I'm finding that I don't have time to iron.
Aren't those so fantastic?
So I got a handheld garment steamer because I have to look very professional in my job as a member of the executive team. Very important. So yes. That's also why I did the haircut thing. I'm like, okay, I have to look like, you know, I can't be like, that guy's fun.
No more homeless chic.
Oh my God.
Chic. There are days I walk out and I'm like, I am definitely channeling homeless chic here.
Which is a bummer because it's in style now.
I know.
Right?
But only for a certain age.
That's true.
When I do it, people are like, oh gosh, is she okay?
Are you?
Did she give up on life?
Ma'am, do you need anything?
Do you need assistance?
I'd be like, I just need an
audience. I need an adult.
Can you listen to me talk about Techne and God in life for a bit? Please.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Luke. I apologize for the bad audio. I am doing this on my headphones because my mic is broken. Yay! Okay, but I'm here, one, to get paid. But then two, actually this is more important to me, to talk about these Steubenville conferences. If you've been listening to this podcast at all for any long period of time, which is all of you, you know how important these conferences are to me, what they have on the episode with my mom, talked about how she met my dad at a Steubenville conference. You've heard me talk about how it played a huge role in my conversion. Gomer obviously speaks at them. And okay, so the Steubenville conferences are where teens go to experience a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. There are 3 days of amazing speakers and opportunities for powerful worship, adoration, and confession with hundreds of other teens. And they're honestly some of the best youth conferences in the country, in my opinion. I love them. I think they're great. They're very important. And I really, if you have some teenagers in your life, I encourage you to get them to one of these conferences. There are dates throughout the summer and locations across the country. These conferences have been running for decades, and tens of thousands of Catholics across the United States will tell you their life completely changed when they first encountered Christ at a Steubenville conference. I am one of those people. There's a direct link from the Steubenville conferences in June of 1997, actually, I think I went in July, to this show right now, to me being here, and all the following conferences after that. I genuinely cannot imagine my life without the Steubenville conferences, and not just like the role they've had, but like how I encountered the Lord there, how I encountered others, and through encountering others, I encountered the Lord. Listen, if you're on the fence about this, go. They're great. They're really great. Gomer's going to be speaking at them. Obviously, click the link to learn more about them. All conferences are open through registration right now. So this is your sign. If you have been waiting for one, if you're in high school, one, why are you listening? But two, go to your parents and say, hey, do something. Have me go to this conference. If you've got teens, take them to this. They are wonderful. So again, all of these Steubenville conferences are happening across the country. They're now open for registration, and Catching Foxes heartily, with all the enthusiasm you can muster, a Luke at his peak in Austria in 2003 type of enthusiasm encourages you to go to the Steubenville conferences. Thank you for the Steubenville conferences. Can't believe that these words are coming out of my mouth. For sponsoring this episode of Catching Foxes. Also, props to me for keeping that clean. You know, I'm pretty proud of myself. That was you should all be happy with that.
So I have to, because of like, so one of the things that I have found with ADHD, there's this thing, I forget what they call it, but basically like going to bed can be a little bit hard. So can like waking up. So I take these pills, actually like help with that. I sound like an old man. And they're really helpful.
Have you seen my pill box? There's two.
I'm becoming huge.
One for the morning, one for the evening.
All of a sudden I'm going to get real in the Nelly and Budweiser.
As you should, as a gentleman.
If you were even the least bit respectable, you'd have a band on your cheek. So if I take these things about a half hour before I go to bed, like I'm typically out. And I'm trying to do that at 9:30, regardless of how much I've gotten done. And then that way I can get up at like 5:30, which has really been like 6 or 6:30. And it's going okay. And I'm trying to get all this stuff done. And I can't believe that I did this. I always try to make Everly a smoothie? I mean, it is. I try to do something like, here's some of my fruit, here's, you know, and she's now not into it. But like, I will like find that like, it's kind of like, God, it's like one more thing in the morning. So I pre-did it the night before, which for me is like huge. And I was like,
this is remarkable.
Look at that. Like, that was a little bit easier. And now I haven't done it. I found them just bags I can buy over at Costco. And so I'm like, okay, good. But like, and like why I was asking that is that I do feel this bit like I have to get like all the stuff done. Like, I think I need to just be ready, like almost like dressed and ready to go and just pray I don't spill anything on myself, which will happen because I do it all the time.
I'm in my apron era.
I thought about buying one.
It's so great. I'm like, now I get it.
I legit have thought about buying an apron because it's just like, because I like, I'm, you know, like I like to cook and stuff. So I'm, you know, and I'm like, but, you know, and I'm always burning things.
Grease stains don't come out of your clothes.
No, they don't.
Doesn't matter what you do.
No, they don't.
They don't come out.
And I put olive oil on everything because I, you know, because I think it's what you're supposed to do according to this.
We use avocado oil, but.
Oh, sorry.
It's the carnivore of us.
What is Gomer doing? Is he just committed to the thing he was doing before we were about to record, which was rearranging his whole room or something?
No, he's just standing here awkwardly staring at me. Like that.
And somehow that worked.
I don't know why he's standing over there and not participating.
I don't know either, but this side of the room off camera is now mostly clean.
Look at
There's a few stacks.
Look at you.
But I just keep staring at the stuff behind my fan.
What is that? It looks like an amp to a guitar thing.
It's a
filter.
An air purifier.
Air purifier.
I have a much smaller version of that. That looks really cool.
So what I did was I watched some YouTube videos, a couple of dozen, and you just buy a Walmart fan and you get really high filters, like high, what do you call it? Density, whatever. MERV 13, whatever. But if you just slap a filter on the outside of the fan, it kills the motor because it's working too hard to draw the air in. So if you get a bunch of filters, it can draw the air in from a bunch of places, right? Mm. So it won't burn the fan out. So because my one daughter has a lot of issues with allergies and other things, and right now we're in the middle of heavy pollen season here in Texas. Mm-hmm. So I bought that and I just run it all the time. And it's supposed to filter out pollution from like cars. It's like the best filters that I could buy.
Oh, that's cool.
For the money. And I became obsessed with it. But I find that the cheap Walmart fan, it still taxes it. And it lets off a slight electronics burning smell if I run it like for 24 hours. So I don't do that.
So that's the thing that you said, like, because you sent us all in our like guys chat text thing, like a thing about I'm putting this thing together, and like you, and then he goes, you in classic Gomer style, you all should buy it, and then sent some screenshot of like how to put it all together that could barely be read, and we just ignored it.
Yes.
But that makes sense now. Okay not because we didn't care. I think, you know, just one of those, there are times in the text where you just can't get to everything.
Yeah, so when we had the HVAC guy come to our house, because this is me trying to be an adult, is before things catastrophically fail, what if we took care of them? So we got rid of our water heater and got a new water heater before it catastrophic. Maybe Shannon had something to do with the prompting of that. But so we got it replaced, got it done. And now we're looking at the HVAC because it's 25 years old. It lasts for 15 years, so we're on borrowed time with it. But it's so damn expensive, and I want to change stuff with the roof and all this.
But the thing the guy said to me that I thought was so fascinating, he goes, yeah, the first thing we're going to do is change out your filters. And I'm like, oh, are they not clean? My wife just changed those. And he goes, no, they're fine, but they're 1 inch. We're going to change them to 4 inch because they're super deep. So they allow a lot more air to pass through so you can have a tighter filter for your, you know, kids who struggle with allergy stuff. And I was like, huh. And so then I, you know, once you see something, you can't unsee it. So then I go to the like Home Depot and I see these like 4 inch deep filters that I've never seen before. So with this, it's along those same lines. But he was just telling me about like what they use as a company to help children with asthma and breathing problems and sleeping problems. And I mean, my car every single day is just coated in green and yellow pollen.
Yeah.
As Christopher West said, it's Mother Nature having sex with our faces.
It was so weird. Yeah. Yeah. Chen, I know. He like, it was the, I mean, I'm amazed we just didn't burst out on a little laughing going, what the
he said that. Well, the album art was pollen shooting out all over his face. So we,
yeah, it was weird.
It was weird.
This is why I can't go to things because this.
Shannon can't tell her face to not lie. But anywho, so the company that did it, they had all these links to these things and it was all from COVID. A couple engineers discovered how to do this and it filters out viruses.
Okay.
So hundreds and hundreds of schools built it and put them in their classrooms. But then when California, remember the Santa Barbara fires that you know, like
dominated. So much about this.
Well, this I watched 14 YouTube videos, so, but it filters out smoke from the atmosphere, right? Mm-hmm. So when the kids needed to go to school, but they weren't really allowed to leave their home, they could go to their classrooms because every classroom and the school had these filters.
Yeah. So
that's why.
That's really cool. You know what that kind of reminds me of? Cause I didn't understand any of that. But, one of the things that's like, no, I did that is I found, I don't know, like, I still tend to view things in terms of decades where I expect somehow in my 30s it's going to be like different than in my 20s and like in my 40s I'm different. I don't know why I do that even though it's but like I find that like as I'm getting older and it's not like I am just trying to find this out for the first time, but I think there's more of a desire to dive deep into this stuff. Is how many options there are for all these different things that I just don't know about.
Yeah.
Like I was trying, there was a thing I was trying to buy. I can't remember like what it was, but I was just like, wait, there's like 1,000 different. I was like, I would never think to try to, but it's like all like just like trying to find the right thing. It may have been for like head oil stuff. But I have a very oily head as we all know. And do you remember how like the top of my car would have those weird cracks in it?
I just thought of like when we drove, you made me drive with you that one time to go get your paycheck from Pittsburgh because you didn't want to drive by yourself.
I do remember that.
Such a thing. That was the first time I'd been in your car and I was like, that's funny. Like
it looked like, just to give people context, Luke drove the tiniest car, a Geo Metro.
That was a Honda Civic. My mom's car was a Geo Metro. Mine was a Honda Civic.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We rode the Geo Metro when we were yelling at your
during
sister, all that fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You drive by when they're taking pictures and screaming things. Like, those guys are in college. Shouldn't they be doing something? Nope. This is pretty much it.
We're wholesome.
We can't drink.
No, but I remember seeing that and being like, it looks like a human brain. Like the grooves of a brain. Mm-hmm. Actually, like this shirt, actually. Hey, look at that. It's an object lesson.
And I have no idea why, but apparently my head like it secretes a lot of oil. So I've been taking omega-3 to help with that and for my triglyceride.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, I have to get like, because I have to put aftershave stuff on and then I have to put on suntan like lotion, but I can't have stuff. I have to have stuff that fits for like an oily head. So the amount of options, I'm like, this is insane. And it's just, it's crazy when like you get older, how it's like, I feel like I've been denying myself certain things as I find out like what's out there and what's actually available. And it's like, I thought I had like, you know, two options. Instead, I have like 1,000 and I either just didn't care or I don't know like what it is. It's like the first time I ever had to buy tampons. I remember not for myself, obviously, but I remember going there and being
told, he's a nosebleeder.
Yeah. Being told to get like a certain size, being like a certain size, a certain kind. That's awkward. And and being like, I could not believe there was like, there's 15,000 different types here. I don't understand. How am I supposed to find this? I mean, I was truly like, I think I had to ask a person for help because I was like, I don't know.
My dad to this day will walk down the aisle and just throw something. He won't look up. He'll just throw it in the cart. So it's always a eyes. You're like, it's okay, Dad. I send Michael with like a screenshot of exactly. So I'm like, just find this on the shelf.
That's it's very but like, what do you do
when I was a checkout guy at the grocery store and a nervous man would come with a box of tampons? I would always do a price check. I need a price check on tampons. Price check on, and he's like, it's awesome.
Yeah, I don't mind like going to buy them. It's not like I'm like embarrassed or anything per se, but yeah. There is just this sort of like, I don't know what to, is this right? And if, 'cause if I'm wrong, it's like, God help you. 'Cause everyone's different. Right. And it's like, they have a different, I don't know. Anyways, I don't know if that's an older thing or if it's just a, like, now I want my life just, I want the small things in my life to go better. So I'm willing to go to make the deep dive for those small things, because now I'm like, that's what I care about. It's like, I need the right oil thing for my head.
Do you remember growing up, and if you wanted to know basic knowledge about a thing, you had to go to like the library or like, let's say like handyman things around the house. Mm-hmm. There was like those Black and Decker, do it yourself, attics and decking. I might have looked at that on the Amazon, but there's all these things. All of that doesn't need to exist anymore because of YouTube. Like, you can get like an understanding. Like, there's so many different, like, oh, like just like intro to the thing, like the concept of it, the medical side of it, the billion. And then it's like brand wars, which tampon absorbs more, right? And they have like every YouTube video you could think of, so that you can actually have like, not just like, oh, what should I do here? But you can actually have confidence and competence in this stuff, which is why I think I do a too deep of a dive sometimes. Is like, I want to watch YouTube videos until I know what people are talking about when they reference things.
Yep.
Not just be like, you know, and that's it with roofing. Like, I watched probably about 30 hours of roofing one weekend when my car broke down in Dallas during a talk, all on double speed. And then when I got home, I could actually have a conversation intelligently with people who have been doing it.
You're right. It's like, what's happening?
Ruined it. Oh, that was awesome. Oh,
trying not to sneeze into the microphone.
It's okay. Listen,
I gotta go. I got bread to put in the oven. Because
what kind of bread?
Sourdough. Ugh. Started that. I'm a couple years behind the trend,
it's
very exciting. So no, I'm to go. So my loaf has been rising. I need to put it in the oven.
Well, this was great. Thank you. It was very good to be able to talk with you. Very much enjoyed this. You don't age, by the way. I just want to say, like, you look the same. So way to go.
Thank you. Thank you. My mom's genetics, so it's Anastasia right here.
Other people from school do, so that's why I'm always like, wow, man. Like, yeah.
Oh, you look good. Huh. You look like a person.
You beat. Not me, of course.
No, you still have so much potential. I'm on the day crescendo. I've been on the day crescendo since 25, so it's all good.
All right, thank love you. This is fun. Same.
Hey, Shannon, can I give you these things when you go? Because I such a nervous cleaning when she's here.
I'm sorry.
I should have had this taken care of before. The best part was I strategically hid bills that I owe. Oh.
That's the Gomer way.
So just the one bill is a toll tag that because we, I just had problems with a toll tag, and then it charges you, you know, by taking a picture of your license plate, send it to your home address. And I forgot to pay that. And then I just saw the bill and I was like, oh, that's $2.50 that could come back and haunt me.
Life is all about the margins. I almost just choked on my egg sandwich. Good podcasting. Hey,
yeah, it's beautiful. Hey. I do want to give a shout out to the folks in who are watching live. So if you're a Patreon supporter,
thank you.
You can join us sometimes when we get these Saturday shows going. You can join us live. Glacius says, sometimes I wonder if sudden conversational swerves in the show are the result of post-recording editing. Turns out, at a minimum, not always. I would say very rarely is it editing. The only time a total swerve happens is if I feel like one of us, usually me, is rambling, and I'll just dramatically cut it in the editing thing. But Joe, when Joe edits, he doesn't really edit for content, and that's not really what we ask him to do. We will literally say, Joe, cut this out, and he will. But no, typically, if you hear a conversation swerve, that's from the theology of our bodies.
Yeah. Sorry, because we just can't help ourselves. Yeah. I thought you were making a point before that. Oh, yeah, no, but anyways, over on Patreon, you could also get access to the Discord, which is just a life of its own. It's a super great community. So if you're just the kind of person that enjoys having that type of stuff in your life, and you want to be around a lot of like-minded people, maybe throughout your day, the Discord's a great place to do that. We actually had a Christmas gift exchange that was a lot of fun, and there's a lot of cool stuff that goes on in there. So, impromptu ad for going to patreon.com and signing up there.
Can I just make two? Sorry, CF.
You all. Oh, yeah. By now. Go on.
Patreon.com/CF. When I was at a young adult event in Wichita, I was talking to someone, and I can't remember what it was about. It was about like art or something. And you had made the comment, and I had just listened to our episode where we were talking about the rich patronizing the arts. And then that's when you were like, patreon.com/. So as this person's talking, I go, patreon.com/CF. Oh man, it was great. I was in Wichita. Phenomenal people. A lot of Catching Foxes fans. One guy stood up and he goes, "Hey, I don't listen to your podcast, but my friends do. So I'm supposed to say this. Gomer, can you talk about roofing?" It was awesome.
That's awesome. That's great.
But just two quick announcements before we wrap up the show. Number one, I am now an elementary drama theater teacher, which is hysterical.
You're so excited for this. I'm so excited for
you. So I was trying to get my wife to talk me out of doing it. But the homeschooling group thing, you know, the Campy and Hall stuff, it needs help. They need it. And I was like, well, how much is it? And they said, well, you can have up to 14 kids in the class and you just get the tuition. So if you have 14 kids, you get whatever the tuition is per class times 14. And I was like, oh. And then I was like, well, what about my boys? They're in third to fifth grade. So, and she's like, well, they get to go for free. And I was like, oh, an award-winning education for free?
Award-winning education for
free. Oh, wait, that's what they already get at home because we homeschool. Let's do it. So I said, I'm going to do it. And yesterday I was at work. I had a work meeting. And I'm talking, and then Shannon texts me, and she said, Thomas has been going on all day about how excited he is to have Daddy as his drama teacher. And I was like,
stage left.
And I'd smack him. Not today. You are not my son. My son exits stage left every time.
This is the price of perfection. This is the price of truth.
To YouTube with you. Watch more videos. So that's a thing. And then the other thing that I want to announce is I've been recording a show with Professor Chris Karstens on the liturgy. So I'll get my liturgy thing out of me so it won't be so much on this show. But it's a podcast called Becoming God. Ooh. And yep. And we have 5 episodes total. And on the Becoming God podcast, it's like understanding theosis, divinization, deification, however you want to say it, as it applies to the liturgy. And so it's like the grounding. So the first 5 episodes are, what the heck is theosis? And is this Catholic or sounds Hindu or Mormon? So
is it going to be is it going to be an ongoing podcast or?
Yeah, we're going to do it seasonally. So there was a really popular Catholic podcast called the Liturgy Guys. Mm-hmm. And it went on, I think, for 5 years, maybe 6 seasons. I don't know how
longer than that. I mean, a couple of them, I think it was Jesse, really cool guy. He would even sponsor it. He would do some ads on our show back in the
day. Yeah, and they also are the guys from the Liturgy Institute.
That's right. Yeah,
from Mundelein. Yeah. That's when they sponsored us. So
yeah,
it's just been awesome. We're still working with Jesse. He's now at BVM Studios, working with him and doing stuff with him. And he's kind of like helping to get it funded and started, so then we can have this great momentum and return the conversation. And so for people, it's literally a conversation about liturgy for people who want to go to heaven and love God. Not like, we're not doing like rubric arguing. We're not dealing with any of that stuff. So the way I pitched it is the second part of the catechism, section 1, like big, broad foundational stuff on what does it mean to worship God. So I'm excited about it. We've recorded 5 episodes and I think they're all fantastic. I've edited 3. I think they're fantastic.
I thought you were going to keep going, so I took a bite of food. I apologize.
Yeah. No. Well, and the first episode will drop on April 2nd, and then it's going to be on, I just keep the same thing as Catching Foxes. So it'll be on Tuesdays.
Great.
Only because I realized for for us in recording, like having that weekend buffer and even a Monday buffer is super helpful. It is super helpful.
Big fan of the Tuesday release schedule. I think if we were to go any farther than that, we would like wait too long.
Yep. Yep. So that's exactly what I felt. Yeah. I'm trying to do the calculus. I'm like, well, we used to release, I used to edit we would record on Thursday nights and then I would edit either at 5 a.m. No, I would edit after. I would go to bed
on Wednesdays and you would edit.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah. Thank you. I would try to get it posted before 5 a.m. on Friday, my time, because I wanted people on the East Coast who maybe commute to work to have it on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did it mostly like that off and on, but it just, Friday became the day I would edit. and then Saturday became the day you would edit. Yeah. You're like, but Tuesday, isn't it funny how like little changes, like Wednesday, oh, that's an extra day from the weekend. It's like, that's kind of like prepping for the next weekend now.
Yeah. Your brain starts to take a shift around that point in time. So
isn't that funny? Hump day.
Yeah. I'll just end here. I've had some really interesting realizations about like, it's been, I don't know. It's so interesting. It's been really nice not having a job in the church, not because of like the church politics or anything like that, but I think it's allowed me to almost like focus. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, or could it be just like this is the season that like I need. It's given me space to really focus on my own stuff, mm-hmm. or to kind of come to God, like not to come to God on my own terms, but in the sense of like I don't need to constantly try to think about this with regards to all these other things that are going on within the church. I can pay attention to like what the Lord is putting on to my heart and the journey that he's really calling like me on right now, and the things that are speaking to me as opposed to these 5,000 other things, which is a bit that like, okay, like maybe two or three other ways or things that are like, I don't know, it's been, and I don't know if that like there's a part of me that feels bad about that. But it has been really, really nice because it's allowed me the space to kind of just breathe. I feel like I can just breathe when it comes to like my relationship with God and trying the things I'm trying to understand, or like whatever God wants to heal and reveal within my own life. I feel like right now I have the space to fully enter into that and that alone.
Yeah.
And that's been really, really good.
Yeah. When I was in Wichita, I did a young adult event and I walked in, I was talking with the priest and I was talking with someone else, and I see these people out of the corner of my eye and I'm like, all right, these are probably Catching Foxes fans. They're like lingering. Like, and then I turn,
you're like, all right.
No. Meaning like you could tell that they were eager to come talk to me. Right. And then I turn and it's Catherine Mano. So Catherine and James Bidding and from Franciscan, you know, people that I love. And I turn, I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? And they're like, oh, we moved here in like 2013, 2011, something like that. And he had worked for the church. And I go, oh, are you still doing that? And he looked at me and he goes, after 17 years, I just quit working for the church. He was a Catholic school teacher. And he said, I'm welding. And I looked at him and I go, doesn't it feel so good? And he's like, it does. Yeah. And so we started talking about it later. And I've been talking about it with a handful of people, like, because everyone asks, like, why the hell roofing? And I was like, it's not roofing. It's something I can do with my hands. But number two, it's not working for the church. And even though what I do is like the closest thing to work for the church that a public company can have, or a company could have.
Yeah.
I said, and this is, I don't know what if you resonate with this, but I just said, there is a performative aspect that hangs in the back of your head when you work for the church that doesn't exist when you do a secular job. Like for me, there's this thing, like you're always on, like, hey, I got to represent myself in a certain way. I got to do this in a certain way. And I'm always like when you're building a roof, or you're talking about a roof, you're designing a website for a roofing company, you like, that's not, it's like, you know, you're just work. You're, it's a business transaction. You're working on a business that it's like background. Maybe let's just say it's like 20% background anxiety or awareness or feeling like I'm putting on a performance. It just is gone. And so I'm like, oh, I can actually breathe easier, not saying I do this for the church.
How much of that performative aspect do you think is because you're giving talks?
Well, so that's a really good point. I would say even when I'm walking the campus when I was at St. Anthony's. Like when I'm just there doing my jobby job and answering emails and talking to people, like I feel like there's all eyes on me. Right. And I don't know if it's just because my position is so out front. So if I was someone who was pure admin behind the scenes, you know, no one ever saw me up front, maybe it would be different, but you know, that's not my life. So it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Hard to tell.
And I really want to make sure, I hope people aren't getting the impression that we're saying like, you shouldn't be working for the church or like, it's just, I think for me, this is a, I don't know if this
will be. It's a season. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how long it's going to last. Could last a very, you know, I just, and it, so I definitely want to, I definitely want to get that point across. I think there's, I'm going to think of some people like my buddy Paul, like our buddy Paul, who works for the church and has done it for his entire career and has this sort of like, he understands all of the challenges and is willing to engage and, you know, and acknowledge those, all of like those things, but he's able to keep going and keep doing it. And I really like, you know, I, after 5 years, I was like, okay, it was, I'm going to include my time at Catholic schools and other things like that.
Cause yeah,
you're always talking about that stuff. And there's, it's really interesting. I don't know. I one of the things I love about Catholicism, and I've really grown to appreciate this over the last couple of years, is we are the religion of the both and, not the either or. Mm-hmm. And I used to think of that in terms of like all are welcome ish, where it's like we have to make room for these different type of spiritualities. I think that is true, but there's also this element to it of like we are the integrated person, that like who I am at my job is the same as who I am on the podcast, and to try to as like separate those things out is not possible. You really that's a lie. That is that like is not reality. Yet at the same time, there is a way to create space for certain things where I can like how I am at my job right now, and I'm 3 weeks in, so I'm already like, I've got a lot of thoughts. But it's just been interesting to be able to like, I can actually be myself, be that integrated person, and not have to be in a quote unquote like secular job as I am right now. And it's just, it's really interesting to see how you can like have both, you know, and how they're going to be and I'm sure there will come. I mean, I'm new, so it's fun and it's exciting and it's relatively easy to be able to engage in that stuff. I haven't quite hit the road of like, okay, now this is just the normal, boring everyday stuff. So, you know, get back to me in about 9 months. But yeah, it's just been really, good. And because I was doing communion and I was with my communion and like liberation group last night, and I almost found myself, I'd also spent half of the day in Excel, and that just, I'm just mush after that. I'm like, I need to talk and it's not going to make any sense. It's like the ultimate brain fog for me. So it takes hours to get out of that now. But I almost found it easier to enter into some of like the dialogue around what we were discussing, because I wasn't bringing all this extra baggage and thoughts and like, well, we talked about this during our like one meeting today, or how this applied to, you know, and it was kind of like, I'm nice to be able to not have that. So yeah, I'm really excited about like, it's just kind of interesting. So just wanted to share that.
The way I like thinking of it is it's like a ministry muscle that you're always exclusively working. Like my dad, you know, he got to work at Texaco. And 9 to 5, you know, whatever. He came home, he was done. He didn't have to blog, he didn't have to podcast. But when he came home, it was like community. So it's family, it's neighborhood, it's Knights of Columbus, it's the parish. So they would go to their friend's house every week for small faith group, you know, Sunday lectionary Bible study. Every week they did that. And it was like maybe 15 couples, so 30 of them, almost at 40. It was something like that, 20 to 30. Mm-hmm. Like, that's huge. That's a great friend group that's built on faith. They're doing real fellowship. They're loving one another. They know where they are. And these are the type of people who would just pop in, like, hey, we were in the neighborhood, you know, shopping at what's it called? We thought we'd swing by.
Yeah.
My mom, right? She was the DRE. So there was no separation for her between work and worship, work and church. And that vibe I definitely get, because at my new parish at Presentation, I don't work for them, but I volunteer a lot. And I'm going to be doing youth ministry as a volunteer, right? I already teach CCD as a volunteer. Like, I'm not, and it just hits different. And so there's this one guy who was like, no, I can't leave the church ministry because I just always thought that this was my life. And I was like, dude, I volunteer. I'm like one of those retired people who like work more now that they're retired. I'm like, as a volunteer, I do this stuff all the time and I love it. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, maybe that makes sense for me. So, yeah, it's not one or the other. It's both. And when you get to volunteer, you still get to work for the church, but you're doing it out of pure service. So I love it.
I know that we have to wrap up here.
I have to pee so bad.
Okay. So I want to say one thing.
Yeah, please.
And let's, I'm going to leave this as like kind of a tease for next week.
Yeah.
I do wonder with our parents, how much of that ability to like enter into other things. I feel like we're always exhausted. I'm not saying that they weren't, but right now there's so much like we, like all of us, and I would say our parents, even like now too, I feel like we have to do so much. You can't go to the grocery store and have them get, you know, back up your stuff. You've got to do it yourself. You have to do the checkout. You can't call like a travel agent and say, I want to go here. You have to buy the ticket. You've got to get to the hotel. You've got to do, there's so much stuff we have to do now.
Yeah.
And I feel like if that's making us very, very exhausted, which makes it harder to like engage in real leisure because it takes work and effort.
Yeah. That's the best thing that ever came out of COVID is grocery store pickup.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. So, okay. All right, everyone.
All right.
Thank you. I don't remember if we have a sponsorship or not. This episode may have ended by now, but just in case it hasn't, thank you to Steubenville for the Steubenville Conference for sponsoring this episode. Thank you to our Patreon for keeping this thing going. Patreon.com/CF. Your support is why this show still exists. Bye. We love you.
Bye.